Good morning, everyone. My name is Muhammad Mazhar Islam. I am from the University of Texas at San Antonio. I and my supervisor, Professor Abdullah Mujahid, welcome you all to the presentation of our paper, Characterizing Real-World Bugs Causing Sequential Consistency Violation. Actually, the memory model that most programmers usually have in mind when they program and debug shared memory parallel program is sequential consistency. But most of the architectures do not implement sequential consistency. As current processor hardware aggressively overlaps pipelines and reorders the memory access of a thread, and this may eventually lead to AC violation. I'll discuss more about AC violation later. Now, our paper presents the first comprehensive characteristics study of AC violation bugs in real programs. It uncovers many interesting findings and implications of AC violation bugs. So this is an outline of my presentation. I will discuss some of the background and motivation of our work. Then I will also discuss the methodology and the findings of our study, and finally the conclusion. So AC violation, actually sequential consistency required the memory operation of a program to appear in some global sequential order that is also consistent with each thread's program order. You can see this is an interleaving of a program which will produce sequential consistent result. Here processor PA allocates a variable and then sets a flag. Later processor PB checks that flag and uses that variable. While these interleaving produces expected results, some other interleavings might not. Here's another example. In this interleaving, as there is no data dependency between the variable and the flag, the PA hardware, processor PA hardware, reorders those two statements. And in these unlucky interleavings, processor PB uses the uninitialized variable. So this is an AC violation. In general, for AC violation, we need at least two data races, and it happens before cycle between them. Why important? Why AC violation bugs are very important? Actually, AC violation bugs are arguably the most hardest type of bugs because AC violation bugs complicates the reasoning process of a parallel program. When an AC violation occurs, the program execution loses its intuitive semantic meaning. As a result, the execution becomes harder to verify. Now, the second reason is the AC violation bugs are often architecture dependent. They might manifest under one memory model, but completely invisible under a different memory model. So AC violation bugs definitely affect the portability of a program. Now, the third reason is AC violation bugs are often found in codes that are known to have intentional data races. Example of such code bases are double check log, constructs, synchronization and concurrent libraries, and code bases that have log-free data structure. So normal data race detectors cannot detect data races out of those. Now the fourth reason is AC violation bugs makes various software debugging tools inadequate. And the final reason that I will show is AC violation bugs require very specific reordering of memory access to manifest. Thus, present debugging and testing techniques cannot reproduce the AC violation bugs. So we have done a thorough study on the AC violation bugs on real application. I'll discuss the methodology and some findings of our study. We select several open source applications like Mozilla, Apache, MySQL, then libraries like GCC, Silk, and Java, and benchmarks like Splash2. We collect AC violation bugs randomly from these code bases and previously published literature. In order to effectively collect AC violation bugs, we first search concurrency bugs using various keywords like double check log, synchronization, race, log, concurrent, volatile, atomic, mutex, etc. And among all those bugs, we randomly choose 127 bugs. We manually check the bug reports, patches, the detailed codes, and the discussions, and finally, 20 AC violation bugs are found. Like I said, AC violation bugs are architecture dependent. So we collect a bug to be an AC violation bug if it is manifested in at least one memory model, like release consistency. So you can see a summary of the AC violation bugs that we have found. These are the applications and the corresponding bug IDs. So let's talk about the findings that we have got. We analyzed these bugs based on three main characteristics. First of all, it is bug pattern, then the fix strategy, and the time to fix. We also collect some additional information like the number of threads and variable used involved in a bug, and time to fix a bug, and also sometimes the impact of the bug. Let's talk about bug pattern. Actually, different bug patterns require different diagnosis and fix approaches. We classify the bug patterns into three main categories. You can see, first of all, it is double check log bugs, which consists 45% of all the bugs. Then the improper flag synchronization, which consists 25%. And the rest 30% is incorrect fence bug pattern. I'll show examples of each of these patterns now. Here is an example about double check log bug pattern. In this figure, an unsafe DCL pattern is used to initialize the variable tab. These are the simplified version of the actual codes, actually. So in T1, suppose two threads call the initialization routine simultaneously. Now in T1, A0 and A1 might get reordered, but it is prevented by placing a barrier in between them. But in T2, B0 and B1 can still be reordered, as there is no barrier or fence in between these two. So T2 might end up using uninitialized tab because of an AC violation caused by memory reordering. Here is another example regarding improper flag synchronization. In this figure, you can see variable sync has been used as a flag without declaring it as an atomic variable. This can cause prior memory access of thread T2 to get reordered after the flag is set. As a result, the computation can be incorrect. Now, this is the last example regarding incorrect fences. Here, there is a store fence inside the unlock function. It can prevent the write operation to be get reordered after the unlock function in T2, but in T1, it cannot prevent the read operation of variable B to get reordered outside the KDL section. And this can lead to a violation of mutual exclusion. Now, let's discuss the bug fix strategies. You can see that 45% of all the bug fix strategies are 45% of all the bugs are actually fixed by correcting or modifying fences, whereas 30% bugs require atomic variable. So these two consist 75% of all the bugs. And some other bugs are fixed like adding or modifying logs or even restructuring the whole code.
So are these the fixes that you applied to make this
work? No, these are the fixes applied by the developer actually. So this is in contrast with the Dataless bug fixes, because in general, Dataless are fixed by adding or modifying logs. But here you can see majority of the bugs are fixed by correcting fences or declaring the variables as atomic. I'll also show you some examples. So you can see that these examples is already discussed by me. This particular bug can be fixed by placing a fence in between them, so that those two statements cannot be reordered. Now, this is another example, and this particular bug is fixed by declaring this sync variable as atomic. So I have some backup slides for the rest two examples. I'll show you later. So some other findings. Actually, we collect the how much time it needed to fix the bugs. And this gives us an idea that how much difficult a bug can be. And we found out that around 50% of the bug require from 90 days up to several years. This is in contrast with the other concurrency bugs, because those normally took around 73 days. And especially in one GCC bug, ID 2644 requires 5 years to finally get fixed. Now, we have also found that the number of threads and variables involved in a bug is easily 2. So therefore it suffices to have a detection mechanism that can handle AC violation bugs between any two threads. However, it is quite possible to have multiple AC violation bugs in a single thread. We have also found that the impacts of the AC violation bug can be program crash, or is a stale value, or it might show some undefined behavior. So we reach the conclusion. In conclusion, I should say that this is the first comprehensive characteristic study of AC violation bugs, and these bugs can serve as a standard benchmark for future research. So about possible future work, as we have seen that DCL and improved flag synchronization consist the majority of the bugs, so we can provide some IDE plugin for writing them correctly. We can also provide some static or dynamic analysis techniques for detecting different patterns. And we can also provide a solution to suggest different fixes for different databases, like a solution for a normal or general database and a special or different solution for the databases that might cause AC violation. So that's all about my presentation. Thank you. If you have any question, you can ask. Yes, sir.
So there are some cases where you have correct code that does not rely on, does not pass semantic consistency. Would your tools take exception to that? Does it matter to you compile it, or are you just focusing on programs where semantic consistency is in fact always relied on?
Sorry, I didn't understand your question correctly. Right.
How there are instances of correct code that do not follow SC. How would your tool deal with those?
Yeah, actually, we need to build some tools so that right now, actually, we are working on a AC violation detection tool on TSM memory model. And you know that for AC violation to occur, we need a two data rates and a happens driven cycle between them. So whenever we are trying to make that tool will look for a cycle to happen. So whenever that cycle is going to occur, then at that point it will report that AC violation is going to occur. That's how we are planning to detect AC violation.
Okay, how do you handle cases where there's an intentional and correct
AC violation? Intentional data races, you mean there are intentional data races, but yes, yet there is a AC violation, right? Yeah, I actually thought about that. The programmer might provide that. Okay, I don't want to check all the codes. I just want to check this portion of code so that in this way they can define that this within this code I want to check whether there is AC violation or not. And the rest of the codes I will discard that. So this way that programmer can have some intentional data races and that will not be detected.
Okay. All right, let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.